Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Menotites Podcast. I'm doing my SummerSlam predictions, even though I've barely watched an episode of Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown at all over the last few weeks, so I'm just going by what the matches are themselves and giving my opinions and what I would like to see happen, as well as what I believe is going to happen. And we have the card I'm looking at right here. We have first up on the list for the 33rd annual SummerSlam event, we have for the Raw Tag Team Championships, it is the Street Profits against Andrade and Angel Garza, or Angel Garza. Now, I would love it to be that Andrade and Garza, they win the tag team titles, but they've been doing a lot of teasing that there's going to be a split, you know, between the team, and which I think it might be too soon for that. That's just my opinion, though. Might be too soon for that. I do not want to see them split just yet. I hope, but I would want them to, you know, get that good push to win the tag team titles here, and later on build it up even more so that it actually means something when they split up. Because right now, you know, yeah, they've been teasing it off and on for a few months, but I feel like it's not the time for it yet. You know, because they're still building up, you know, Andrade and Garza, and I am a fan of both. I love them both. They are great athletes. You know, I'm a bit of a fan, fan of a Garza a little more. So now, with Garza, I feel like he has the most potential. I mean, both of them are, again, they're both phenomenal athletes, but you know, Garza he's kind of the total package to me. And like, cause he has the talent, he's a great athlete, he has the charisma, he has the personality, he's great on the mic, you know, he's the full package of what a WWE superstar should be. And, you know, all the reports that I've been hearing about, you know, that Vince McMahon sees him as the next Eddie Guerrero, which, it's not always great to compare, you know, previous superstars to the current stars, because then it's like, they have that, you know, that, you know, high mark that they got to live up to, you know, but this is one that actually I can kind of see that. I can kind of see him as, you know, that new generation, you know, version of him, you know, for this era, because, you know, again, especially when Eddie developed the Latino Heat character, it's very much like what Angel Garza has been in recent months, since coming up to Monday Night Raw and teaming with Andrade, with, you know, Zelina Vega as their manager, or whatever the term that she refers to herself as. And it's gonna be a very good match. I already know that much. You know, Street Profits is a great tag team, although I've hated how they've been used over the last few months with the stupid segments that they did with the Viking Raiders. I'm not a fan of those segments at all. I thought they were stupid, waste of time. I was not entertained by them at all, you know, and it's not because of how, you know, goofy they were. I don't mind goofy. If as long as it serves a purpose in the end, I'm okay with it. There was no payoff to these segments at all, in my opinion. This didn't lead to any kind of special kind of match between them for the tag titles. It was just, you know, bowling and, you know, Viking stuff and basketball, and, you know, then suddenly they're attacked by, you know, Tozawa and a bunch of ninjas, and, you know, and then all they do is have a regular tag team title match. Like, really, build all these segments for weeks just for them to have a regular match? There was no, that's not a payoff. That's not a payoff. You know, but again, that's just my opinion. I'm sure there was somebody out there who was entertained by it besides Vince McMahon, because Vince McMahon loves that stupid, goofy shit like that. But I am predicting for this match in particular that Andrade and Garza are going to walk out as the new Raw Tag Team Champions. And then next up on this list we have for the United States Championship, it's Apollo Crews versus MVP, and with the added stipulation that Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin will be banned from ringside. Now, I am a big fan of Apollo Crews and MVP, and I'm very happy that MVP has returned to the WWE since Royal Rumble of this year. Loved him in his first run from 2006 to late 2010. And then when he was in Impact, loved him on there as well. And I'm so happy to see him back with WWE. And mostly because I just really loved his theme song. I mean, all of his theme songs that he's had, you know, the theme songs. This, the, you know, the I'm Coming, and then the Ballin' Anthem. That was the second theme before he left WWE the first time. And then the Return of Ronin was, I think, the theme he had in Impact for his solo run. And then the Beatdown Clan theme song was really cool, too. And, you know, because he's a great athlete, and he has a great personality. He has, you know, as one of my friends would describe it, he has charisma out the ass. And he's great on the mic, one of the best promos in WWE currently. And, you know, he can deliver in the ring when it counts. I mean, if you remember his matches with Chris Benoit back in 2007, some of the best wrestling matches I'd seen during that era. So he can definitely deliver in the ring when it counts. And Apollo Crews, the freak of nature athlete, and so I'm certain that they're going to be able to give us a great wrestling match. And especially since it is supposed to be one-on-one, I'm sure there's going to be some shenanigans involving Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley at some point. But as it stands right now, it's going to be just one-on-one. Apollo Crews versus MVP. And I predict that one, again, being a very, very good wrestling match, because I know both of them can provide that. And where the story progresses from here, I'm not sure. Maybe this will be the end of that of the story for now, because they'd been building it up for a couple months, and, you know, Apollo Crews had to miss the Extreme Rules pay-per-view because of, I believe they said he had tested positive with the COVID-19. So, you know, that was, of course, a much more important than having a little silly little wrestling match. But we're going to get them one-on-one for the United States Championship once again. And this is going to be an awesome match, I'm sure. But this one, I think MVP is going to officially win this one and be the United States champion once again, which I think would make him a third time officially United States champion. And I very much look forward to it. And I also really love the new U.S. title, that belt, because I think I mentioned it in my Extreme Rules predictions. Probably did. I don't remember. Yeah, I haven't rewatched it, yeah, since I posted it, I've seen some people, you know, shitting on it, as, you know, wrestling fans tend to do on social media, but I think it looks good. I like it. I like the eagle that's on there. For me, you know, eagles on championship belts, I like them. I like that, and I don't know why, and this video keeps skipping off and on, and I know I shouldn't be touching my face, you know, it's the CDC regulations and all that, but when I have an itch, I gotta scratch it. And the other matches that we have on here is Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville, hair versus hair, which, I mean, since Sonya Deville already chopped off, you know, half of Mandy Rose's hair, is kind of a silly stipulation, but at the same time, I understand it. So, yeah. But we shall see how this all works out, because this is a storyline that has been building up for a very long time. This was building up since before WrestleMania, you know, where they were teasing dissension amongst the team of Fire and Desire, formerly Fire and Desire. You know, but, you know, Sonya Deville, she's very good in the ring, and I'm happy that she's finally getting a good push and being in a somewhat important storyline on Friday Night SmackDown. Mandy Rose, she's improved quite a lot in the ring, in my opinion at least, because I know, you know, people compared her to just, you know, being like the divas of yesteryear with, you know, she's only hired because of how hot she is, which, you know, she's pretty freaking hot, but, you know, she's improved quite a lot, and her character has developed a lot better than just being the hot chick. And, you know, the storyline with her and Otis has been a big part of that. Which, of course, you know, the storyline with Otis is what launched this story with her and Sonya. But for this one, it could honestly go either way. And I'm actually looking forward to this match. This one, I think this is going to be a pretty decent match. You know, it's kind of match that I'd be okay with either result. But since they already cut Mandy Rose's hair, pretty sure they're going to Sonya Deville is going to be the one to lose and have part of her hair, at least a chunk of her hair chopped off on this one. And we also have both the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championship matches, which is Asuka taking on Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's Championship, and then also Asuka taking on Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And I've seen some people complaining about, like, you know, why is Asuka getting both of these matches? Which is just funny, because, like, a year ago, people were complaining, why isn't Asuka getting these matches? Why is she not getting these matches? Why is she not getting a push? Now that she's getting a push, people are complaining because, you know, people are never happy. But I'm happy, because it's a great way to progress the story with Asuka taking on Bayley and Sasha for the last, I would say about 3 months at this point. You know, and it's been a very good, solid build-up, in my opinion. And, you know, just because, you know, now Asuka is on her own. You know, Kairi Sane has, you know, said farewell to the WWE. She's gone back to be with her family in Japan. And as of right now, she is not set to return to the WWE. But, you know, the door is always open for her to return at some point. So, but just the way they've been building this up, where, you know, like, Asuka, you know, is going to take down both of them on her own. And I think that is awesome. That is a great story, in my opinion. I love that. I mean, especially because I love Asuka. I love Bayley and I love Sasha, but I love Asuka. Right now, she has been my favorite woman in WWE. And what I would love to see happen, and I also actually talked to my friend Justin on Twitter about this, and we both want to see this happen, that we would love for Asuka to win the Raw and the SmackDown Women's Championships on this night, and then she would lose the Raw Women's Championship to Shayna Baszler, and then Shayna Baszler could go on to have a feud with Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship, and Asuka could be on SmackDown with the SmackDown Women's Championship. You know, that's what we would love to see. You know, that's what he and I would love to see. Whether or not they'll actually go with something like that, probably not. But that's just what, you know, I would love to see, what he would love to see. And if they do that, that would be awesome. But, you know, both matches are going to be great. We already know that, because the matches that they've had previously have been great already. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing this. And I'm pretty sure they're going to do it as back-to-back, you know, kind of like they did at Money in the Bank last year, when Becky Lynch had to defend against Lacey Evans, and then defend against Charlotte Flair, and it was just one after the other. So I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to go on this one. You know, Sasha is going to come out to defend her championship, and then Bayley's going to come out right after that one to defend her championship, and I predict that Asuka's going to win both. That is my prediction. Might not happen, but I'm predicting that it will. And then the other big match happening on SummerSlam is the in-ring debut of Rey Mysterio's son, Dominic Mysterio, is what they're calling him, against Seth Rollins in a street fight. Because, you know, even though he's been in training for a little while, you know, his first match be a street fight is a good way to introduce him to the WWE universe as a in-ring competitor now. Because we saw him years ago when he was still a little bitty baby. We saw him the first time when Mysterio won the Cruiserweight title against Matt Hardy in San Diego on SmackDown. He was there in the audience, and then he came into the ring. They had a big hug, and he celebrated. And then we saw him again a couple of years later in the storyline with Eddie Guerrero, where, you know, with, you know, the I'm your papi, you know, with Eddie Guerrero being Dominic's father. And which I'm surprised nobody has brought that up since Dominic has, you know, been put on TV. Yeah, but, you know, people like myself are always happy to bring that up. Now, since it is a street fight, obviously it's going to be all kinds of crazy shenanigans, you know, all the back and forth. It's going to be a good way to hide I guess would be the insecurities of Dominic, you know, in his debut match for WWE. You know, that's a good way to hide what his flaws are, and they'd be able to highlight the few things that he is good at. You know, like we've seen him do the 619 pretty damn good. He can do a frog splash very well, but as far as everything else, we don't know yet. We haven't seen that yet, but we're going to see it this Sunday, and I'm hopeful that, you know, it'll actually be very good. And I remember reading about like, that Dominic, like, further on in his career, that he'll adopt the mask and, you know, attire similar to his father, much like Rey Mysterio did with his uncle, with wearing the very pretty much the exact same mask as his uncle, Rey Mysterio Sr. And that Dominic, he would adopt the name, like, Prince Mysterio, but, you know, it would be the Spanish version of Prince, which I can't think of it off the top of my head, you know. Which, yeah, I'm Hispanic, but I'm not fluent in Spanish. I understand it, but I don't speak it. But yeah. And for this one, since it is his debut match, you know, the obvious, you know, idea would be for him to win. You know, but WWE, they don't always go with the obvious ones. They don't always go for the obvious results and solutions for these matches, so. But since it is going to be Street Fight, and Miss Ray is going to be in Dominic's corner, and Buddy Murphy is going to be in Seth Rollins' corner, obviously, some shit's going to go down between them. What I'm predicting is somebody's going to go off the top rope through the announce table. Whether it's Dominic doing a dive onto Seth Rollins or Seth Rollins doing a dive to Dominic, either way, that one of them is going to go through a table. But hey, I'm hoping it's going to be a very good match, because I hope Dominic has a bright future in professional wrestling. Whether or not he's going to stay with WWE in the long run, I don't know. That's up to him. We shall see. But I'm pretty sure, because his legacy essentially is with WWE, because through his father, most likely he's going to stay with WWE for a little while, at least. But I'm predicting, as of right now, that Dominic's going to win the first match, and then he'll probably have a second match at the next pay-per-view, where Seth Rollins will win that one, and then they'll have their final blow-off match at the pay-per-view after that. Yeah, but for this one, I predict Dominic to win. And then we move on to the two main event matches. From Raw, we have the WWE Champion Drew McIntyre defending against Randy Orton. And this one is going to be a very, very good match. I am very certain of that already. And I wish this video would stop freezing. And, you know, yeah, that's why I keep saying I need a new computer and a good external camera so that y'all can get the clear 1080p photo imaging from me. You know, but hey, if you want to contribute to that, the link to my Patreon is in the description for this episode. But yeah, Drew McIntyre defending against Randy Orton, two of my favorite wrestlers of the last 20 years, both phenomenal athletes, and this is going to be probably the match of the night, in my opinion. This it definitely has the potential to be the match of the night, and I hope that it will be, because... And, you know, I love Drew, I love Randy Orton, I've been a fan of both since their debuts in WWE, because I know Drew, he was with IWC and a few other places, Evolve and other places like that, you know, outside of WWE, but I was introduced to him in WWE over a decade ago, which he actually made his main roster debut in 2007 for a couple of weeks on SmackDown. And then he went back to OVW, and then re-debuted in 2009 under the Chosen One gimmick. Not a lot of people realize that. But I've been a fan of him since his first time in 2007, when he was still the babyface and had that super thick Scottish accent that he has, you know, been able to adapt for the audience so they can understand what he's saying. But this is another one where I feel like they're going to, you know, continue this storyline for at least two more matches, maybe. So, and it's also another match that I feel like can go either way, and I would be satisfied. Because Drew had the awesome victory at WrestleMania, beating Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. He's had a great run as champion since then, with, you know, great matches against Bobby Lashley, matches against Dolph Ziggler, matches against Seth Rollins. So, you know, he's had a great run already, and let me see, April, May, June, July, you know, been about five months, he's, you know, that's a good solid run as WWE champion, especially in this era where, you know, you know, the attention span of most fans is, you know, like he's champion for 5 minutes. Ah, he's already been too long as champion. We need somebody else. You know? So I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there that are hoping Randy Orton will win WWE Championship, but I actually predict that he's going to retain, that Drew's going to retain the championship, but it's probably going to be maybe a DQ finish, some kind of, you know, screwy finish that can build up to them having another match at the next pay-per-view, which I think the next pay-per-view is going to be Hell in a Cell. I could be wrong. Could be Clash of Champions. I'm not 100% sure. I think it's either it's going to be Clash of Champions and then Hell in a Cell. I believe so. But either way, that they're going to have a next, they're going to have another match at the next pay-per-view and then have their blow-off match at the October pay-per-view, which I think it is Hell in a Cell. Much like the Dominic Seth Rollins storyline, which that one I feel like, yeah, for sure, they're going to end up in a Hell in a Cell match. But like I said, Drew and Randy has potential to be the match of the night and a potential match of the year candidate. Because there's been a lot of great wrestling matches this year, but honestly, the match that has really stood out the most to me is still the Boneyard match with AJ Styles and Undertaker. It's going to be hard to top that match, for me at least. I know for other people, they have, you know, matches from AEW and Impact Wrestling that they praise higher than that, or from New Japan, but this is just my opinion. But for this match, I predict Drew McIntyre to retain. Which brings us to what I believe is going to be the match that closes the event. It is Braun Strowman defending the Universal Championship against The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Which I am very excited for this, and I love that the way they've built up the Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman storyline, where first he took on the Firefly Funhouse Bray, and then took on the cult leader Wyatt family Bray, and now he's going to take on The Fiend. And because he defeated Funhouse Bray, lost to a cult leader Bray, and now we get the rubber match with The Fiend. I don't know, this is a match that I really don't know how to predict it, because both the previous two matches, I was able to predict fairly obvious for those two. I mean, the first one with Firefly Funhouse Bray, it's like, yeah, it was kind of obvious because they were going to build up to him eventually fighting The Fiend. You know, we all kind of knew Braun was going to win that first one. And then the Swamp Fight at Extreme Rules, we figured Bray Wyatt would win that one, so then they can, you know, go off and have him fight The Fiend for SummerSlam, which, of course, that's what he's going to happen now. But this is, I'm having a hard time predicting how I think this match is going to go. You know, that's just, you know, from, I'm sure there's, yeah, other people there that saw, like, yeah, it's definitely going to happen this way, or it's going to happen this way, but I'm having a hard time predicting this one. I really am. I mean, yeah. And those of you watching the video version of this, yes, I have a Bret Hart shaker bottle that just came from WWE Shop yesterday, and I love it very much. But I feel like this is definitely going to be a very entertaining match, and especially because, you know, now they're doing their Thunderdome thing with the screens all over to simulate the audience. They're going to be, I'm guessing, on through Zoom calls or whatever that they're going to be on there, which is very interesting. And since I'm not watching SmackDown, I'm recording this as SmackDown is finishing up, so I have no idea what's going on SmackDown. I don't know how it's going to look. So we'll see how it looks when they do SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver 30. Almost forgot about that happening this weekend. So, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how that works out. But I feel like Bray Wyatt might actually win this one and regain the Universal Championship. Most likely won't, but I just have that feeling that that's what's going to happen. And I hope it does, because, you know, yeah, I was angry when he lost to Goldberg back at the Super Showdown back in February. But I eventually got over it, because I realized, you know, they had their storyline reasons for that. Plus, you know, if Bray Wyatt didn't lose the title to Goldberg, we wouldn't have gotten that Firefly Funhouse match, which I was highly entertained by. I know a lot of people didn't like it as much as they liked the Boneyard match. I thought it was very, very entertaining. I loved every minute of it. You know, but that's because, you know, people don't have a lot of patience for storytelling, and they don't have an understanding of the psychology of such things, which, I guess, you know, said in my mental health episode, that's a whole other podcast I can do on another time, talking about, you know, attention span of the audience and how they don't have the patience for storytelling. And I'll probably do that one after I do my 100th episode, coming up whenever I do that one eventually. But, yeah, I'm predicting The Fiend to win the Universal Championship, and I'm honestly thinking that this SummerSlam might actually be pretty good. I mean, on paper, it doesn't look like the greatest SummerSlam card, definitely does not look like the greatest SummerSlam card, but it could actually be a very decent show. You never know. I mean, and I'm sure they're probably going to add a couple more matches to there, like probably on the pre-show or kickoff show, whatever they're still calling it now. So let me refresh and see if they added anything to this on here. And no, still the same thing. But I mean, it might be a good show. I mean, I don't think it'll be as great as, you know, SummerSlam 2002 or, you know, or 98 or 97. You know, those are my three favorite SummerSlams. Yeah, which funny, because, you know, they're all from the New York, New Jersey area, and those are all my favorite SummerSlams, my top three SummerSlams. But yeah, I mean, it might still be very good. You never know. You know, we just have to wait and see how it goes. And that's gonna do it for this episode of the Men in Tights podcast. I hope you all enjoyed hearing my thoughts and my predictions for SummerSlam 2020. And if you would like to share your predictions and your thoughts on what's gonna go down on the biggest party of the summer, you can do so by leaving a comment on this YouTube video, or you can, you know, give me feedback on my social media, on Twitter or Vero or Instagram. My DMs are always open on those. And if you're not subscribed already, you can subscribe right here to the YouTube channel and hit the notification bell so you stay up to date on everything I do on here. Or if you'd prefer the audio only version, you can do so by subscribing to Spotify, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Radio Public, Breaker, and Anchor. The direct links to all those will be in the description for this episode. And if you would like to support the podcast and the channel, you can do so by subscribing to joining my Patreon, rather, for $1 a month. That link is in the description. You can also buy some merchandise from my official Men in Tights podcast store. That link is in the description as well. You know, especially if you're a Zack Snyder fan, this is going up the day of DC FanDome, where we're all so eagerly anticipating that trailer for the Snyder Cut of Justice League. And so you'll find a few good Zack Snyder shirts that I have on there. And you can also check out my previous stuff that I've done on the Men in Tights podcast channel, my regular other podcast episodes, my classic wrestling pay-per-views, my worst to best rankings, my retro film reviews, my regular movie reviews, my two video game reviews that I did for Last of Us and Last of Us Part 2. I'm going to try to do more video game reviews going in the future. And I'm even considering doing some book reviews, which I feel like I need to get more books because I mostly have a lot of wrestling books. And yeah, hope you're all doing well and staying safe, staying healthy. Thank you all so much for subscribing, for watching, for listening. Love and appreciate every single one of you who do. And I hope you have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, a wonderful weekend. This has been the Men in Tights podcast. I am Julian, and I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.